Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we're examining every single goddamn page of Alien Hunger, a quick start adventure for Vampire the Masquerade, to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is 1991's Alien Hunger, the official PDF release from White Wolf. Tonight, we're discussing page 61 of Alien Hunger. We're in the pre-gens section at the back of the book, where we get profiles and character sheets of all the player characters in Alien Hunger. And tonight, I invite you to come with me into the charmed life of Marcus Smith Kearns. We've talked a little about Marcus throughout the season. He's the gamer in the group, the nerd. He's into anime and paranormal stuff. And oftentimes when you see a character like this in game books, especially ones from the 90s, portrayals of characters who might bear some resemblance to the authors, to the players, exist somewhere on a spectrum of self-parody to self-loathing. This is the era where the stereotype of the nerd who lives in his parents' basement and is a virgin, blah, 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 I think this is when that stereotype is at its height. Certainly, I think that was many gamers' self-image of what the gaming subculture was, and so you would sometimes see that reflected. Not here, though. In a refreshing way, Marcus Smith Kearns is not an object of ridicule. He is an aspirational figure. He's living an early 90s nerd fantasy. It's sometimes been observed that despite the horror and tragedy trappings, that Vampire the Masquerade is a wish fulfillment game, a power fantasy game. There's something to that, but I have not seen anything in this book or in the rest of Gothpunk Denver that matches the regular ass life of Marcus Smith Kearns as an absurd but beautiful fantasy of what a triumphant nerd's life could be. Almost in the spirit of famous sexual harassment training film, Revenge of the Nerds, but not even vengeful. It's too positive. Here, let me show you what I mean. Quote, Marcus is the founder, president, and sole employee of SK Imports, a firm specialized in importing Japanese science fiction models to the US. It's 1991 and we can't say Gundams and shit to a general audience, but it's Gundams and shit, right? Already, Marcus is doing great. Founder, president, and sole employee. One company, one man, three titles. If Marcus Smith Kearns were alive and in his prime today, he would be making YouTube video essays about Gundam with a 2-minute credit roll at the end that's all just him. As editor, writer, producer, based on concepts by, researcher, transition effects applier. Quote, he started the company after being fired for the fifth time, this time from his job as buyer for a US chain of toy stores after numerous run-ins with his supervisor. Not because of any mistakes he made doing his job, mind you, because of his supervisor. It's just not in Marcus to work a 9-to-5 figurine job for the figurine man. He has to be a figurine freelancer. He's a free spirit. Quote, now making enough money on his own, he does most of his work by phone, meeting sellers and buyers face-to-face only when he must. Same, Marcus. I mean about not meeting people face-to-face unless you must. I'm not a figurine guy, but I do make role-playing game podcasts, the anime figurines of the ears, and it's not exactly producing enough income to support a comfortable life for me and my family. But I don't lead the charmed life of Marcus Smith Kearns, who is making a comfortable living as a freelance anime figurine importer, mostly without dealing with anyone face-to-face in 1991. People don't have email addresses. He's doing this all on the phone, selling Gundam figurines on the phone for a living, a comfortable living. But a stable job and anime figurines alone do not make a life, as many have learned the hard way. You also have to have people in your life, preferably by phone, but in person if you must. And Marcus Smith Kearns has that too. Quote, his connection with the rest of the group is through his girlfriend, Jennifer Bingham. Oh, a girlfriend, you say? A little bit of a brag, Marcus. Although, obviously, when you're a successful anime figurine importer, it's not just the money helps, obviously, but also, as a lifestyle thing, you can provide milady with the finest anime figurines. Maybe Emerson Wilkerson III has more money than you, but Jennifer Bingham, if she dated him, he couldn't get her the rarest of anime figurines from the exotic East. He doesn't have the connections. He wouldn't know where to start. When Jennifer Bingham first went to Marcus Smith Kearns' house and went into his figurine room, it was like Belle in the library in Beauty and the Beast, except instead of books, it was just shelves full of figurines of all the girls from Tenchi Muyo in bikinis. I'm very glad that this book is set in the early 90s, where my anime references end. Anyway, back to Marcus and his girlfriend, Jennifer Bingham. Quote, they first met at the Boulder Psychic Fair a few years ago, and have dated fairly steadily since. That's interesting. Kind of on again, off again. He's got a girlfriend, but he can't be tied down. The takeaway here is that Jennifer Bingham is into paranormal stuff. She's a girl who will go to the psychic fair with you. which, as listeners to the Beyond the Supernatural season will know, is kind of a wonderland in itself, the psychic fair. I don't remember which episode of the season that is. Maybe I'll edit in something here to let you know in case you want to go hear about that. The episode in question is page 175, Johnny's Day at the Psychic Fair, from week 30 of the Beyond the Supernatural season of MDC. It was released on Tuesday, April 21st, 2020, and you can find it at megadumbcast.podbean.com, or if you go to Patreon and search for week 30, you will find the week 30 megasode of the Beyond the Supernatural season, and you can listen to it there. But psychic fairs are great. Jennifer Bingham is a girl who will go there with you. Quote, Jennifer Bingham, a New Ager from a well-off family, has known Emerson Wilkerson for years, having grown up with him. So, not only is she fully into your anime lifestyle, not only does she want to go to the psychic fair with you and talk about the psychic powers you definitely probably have, but also she's rich and she's from a rich family and she wants to date you, but not all the time, just most of the time. So you don't have this rich young anime fan who is inexplicably into you despite your shitty mustache, cramping your style all the time. It's not too confining. Quote, Marcus remembers seeing the vampire who embraced him at one of those dreadful formal affairs that Jennifer dragged him to, where he spent most of the night talking to Emerson. He and Emerson have always gotten along well despite their apparent differences. Marcus chalks this up to their mutual interest in theater, though Marcus would never think of taking the stage. So Marcus's life is not all tiny statuettes of Mecca and girls with bright blue hair frozen in mid-panty shot. His girlfriend drags him to go to fancy parties, where he mostly just hangs out by himself, doesn't talk to anybody. He is, I mean, to put it bluntly, too good for this. I mean, here he is, a rugged individualist, an intellectual. What does he have in common with these trust fund losers? Except for Emerson, who has a hobby in common with him, theater, like a fancy hobby, which Marcus knows all about. And Emerson recognizes that and is like, hey, even though I'm rich and handsome, fancy, I can see that you, the person who came to this cocktail party in a duster, you're the one here who's really on my level. And Marcus is like, thanks, bro. Even though you're rich and kind of a normie, I respect that you agree with me about theater, which only a person who would never ever step on a stage can truly understand. And it's not just Emerson and Jennifer who've been attracted to the raw charisma of Marcus Smith Kearns. Quote, Marcus has quite a few friends, including some gaming buddies and a business partner. In addition, he has a moderately extensive network of neo-pagan and New Age friends in the Boulder area, though. I don't know what that sentence means. I don't know what that though is for. I don't know if this is a text scanning error. This is a problem in the original text. But what I do know is Marcus Smith Kearns has a network of occult contacts in Boulder, like Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Supernatural, one of those shows where there are a bunch of people, diverse walks of life, albeit concentrated in a few sets, who know shit about magic, about the paranormal. You can go and discuss your latest case with them when you need to get your hands on a grimoire, or like find somebody who reads ancient Sumerians, so you can cast a spell, or alternately, have a grindingly boring 3-hour conversation about shamanism, even though neither of you knows anything about it, which was my experience of occult contacts in the city where I grew up. But the point is, he has friends, and his friends know about magical paranormal stuff. It's almost like he's John Constantine, I mean, when you think about it, and I mean, equally attractive and stylish and charming. John Constantine wears a trench coat. Marcus Smith Kearns wears a trench coat. No difference. However, it does say that although Marcus has all these friends and occult contacts, those are casual friendships. He's mostly an introvert. And so he just gets to hang out by himself, using that sweet figurine money to support his hobbies, which include, quote, reading, especially fantasy and science fiction, and science fiction fandom. So, I mean, he's got a hot girlfriend, does a bunch of gaming, and spends his evenings sipping some wine after his latest D&D session and rereading a dog-eared copy of Imzadi, the Star Trek novel. I have listeners who could get used to a lifestyle like that. In another world, this life, it could have been us. That's the appeal to the gaming reader here of Marcus Smith Kearns. And this book doesn't seem to be really making fun of him. It is taking him pretty seriously. Under the Your Role section, it says, quote, Marcus is the mystic of the group, the rebel, and the dweller on the fringes. He would be an anarch if he had been brought into vampire society in a normal fashion. Oh yeah, 100%. Any motorcycle gang would be lucky to have a Marcus Smith Kearns. It goes on to say that he distrusts authority. He's suspicious of others. He's going to adapt really well to being a vampire, abandon his life completely. I mean, already he is spending his workday on the phone. He's spending his leisure time inside gaming or reading. He's really setting his own hours. A lot of his relationships are based on the paranormal. It's a very small leap for him. I would say, ironically, for him, since he's the first member of Vampire Drama Club to figure out that he was a vampire, he's maybe the one whose life changes the least. I would say in his new undead form, he will get like 3 fewer hours of sunlight a day. And that's basically it. And you know what? With vampire power and anime money, Nobody can make Marcus do shit. Quote, a fairly large man with a sort of vaguely distracted look. He wears comfortable clothes since his business is done by phone. He has a mustache and is a bit untidy looking. Maybe this doesn't read as wish fulfillment to you, but for me, a fairly large man, with, it must be admitted, a sort of vaguely distracted look, what were people trying to make me do in my early 20s that I didn't appreciate? Wear uncomfortable clothes. Clothes with a shape. A lot of jobs make you do that, but not figurine entrepreneur. Going to work physically rather than literally phoning it in. I hate that as well. Getting rid of my mustache. I turned down a job or two because they wanted me to shave. It just felt kind of intrusive. Although, you know what, in their defense, if you saw my beard at that age, you would want to kill it too. People try to make me look tidy looking. All these things. This is a fantasy that Marcus is living. And to put a cherry on top, Marcus speaks Japanese, which is a crucial skill if you want to be a weeaboo gatekeeper at this time. Who can argue with a man who speaks Japanese? He runs his own anime figurine import company. He's got a girlfriend. He's his own boss. He can wear the same baggy jacket every day. This is a success story. This is an alpha nerd. In fact, and you know, I've poked some fun at Vampire of this era, this book in particular, for insisting on this like dark and moody, tragic horror tone. Like, it's goth punk Denver. Everything's got to be hard. Everything's got to suck. Like, Boulder is this hellscape of cutthroat competition. Nonetheless, I think the dumbest thing on this page has got to be that Marcus Smith Kearns truly is living a charmed life. There is nothing on this page that indicates that this guy has a problem in the world. This self-employed, socially awkward fringe dweller, he just has it all. A job he loves, plenty of money, a partner that he loves, friends, hobbies, and not only is his life great, but then when he becomes a vampire, the page specifies that he takes it in stride. I mean, not only does he have arguably the best life of any of these pregens, except maybe Emerson Wilkerson III, but unlike Emerson, when he becomes a vampire, he basically gets to keep all the good stuff and also become a paranormal creature and a psychic, which is shit he was already into. The dumbest thing on this page is that Marcus Smith Kearns has no problems. He is the only man in the world of darkness with no problems. And in fact, his adaptation to being a vampire may be even easier than this page would suggest. Join me next time for a very important fucking detail about Marcus that this book never sees fit to explicitly tell us about on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the patrons-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Social media was never healthy and is now dying, so if you want to contact me, you can email me. I am megadumbcast@gmail.com. This season's theme song is Suck City by Black Math, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/black_math. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.